And welcome to Talk of the Town, the latest in music, arts, and entertainment. I am Lisa Dascoli, and with me again is my co-host, Annie Weiss. Hey, Annie, how you doing?
Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
Doing well. So what's been going on with you? I haven't had an opportunity to check with you. How are you doing?
Well, usually I talk about dating, but that's been pretty lame. So the most exciting thing in my life right now was last night I was driving Bob Gonzer to the Brownstone in Patterson.
Okay.
And as we know, I have no sense of direction. Let me tell you, can I just paint the picture? I had Google Maps on my phone. I had my GPS hanging up on my windshield and I had printed out directions. Okay. And I still got lost in Patterson, New Jersey.
Okay.
We were late for the show. I didn't know what to do. So I called the venue and I was like, we're on Broadway. We had to get to West Broadway. We're on Broadway. What do I do? Blah, blah, blah. And the girl goes, don't stop at the red lights. Just go. Just go.
Oh, no. Yeah, you were in the inner city part because for those who aren't familiar with our area, yeah, that's not the nicest of areas.
And I'm like this little Jewish white girl from Brooklyn, you know what I mean? I'm like, should we stop and say hello? And she's like, no, don't do it. Go, go, go. So we finally made it to the Brownstone, just in time for the food, so Bobby was fine.
Yes.
He was happy.
But the Brownstone has some of the most excellent food around.
Oh, God,
so
it was delicious.
Shout out to the Brownstone.
Yeah, the Brownstone. It was delicious on West Broadway. It was amazing.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't have a very good sense of direction either, and I never have. GPS was invented for people like me.
Me too.
And 2 million years ago, when I was doing a direct sales company, I told my father-in-law at the time that I would be doing this and I would be traveling around. And he was so frightened for me. He bought me a cell phone.
Okay.
Because they were certain they were never going to find me again. And I would invariably get lost. But I think the worst for me, I was up in West Milford, New Jersey, which is very rural. Mm-hmm. And as I was leaving, the woman said to me, now just be careful because as you're driving down the street, sometimes bears come out.
Oh, God.
And I thought to myself, oh, good God. And I was terrified. I got home. Everything was fine. And I had said something. I said, I'm up in the woods where there's bears. I mean, and the week prior to that, I was in the Bronx.
Okay.
And someone said to me, how can you be afraid in West Milford when you travel through the Bronx? Because
I take the Bronx any day.
Because if I have to pull over to the side of the road, I got a 50-50 shot with the crackhead. I got no shot with the bear.
That's true. And at least the crackhead can give you directions, kind of.
And will. And so, yes, I got more of an opportunity with the crackhead than the bear. So that is my philosophy. That's why I'm a city girl. Very much a city girl. Okay. Well, we got a lot of great things going on tonight, so let's get to it. Our first guest has been named the greatest Italian-American musician, singer, playwright, and comedian by the New York Pod Cafe Association. He wrote music for Chubby Checker, Rodney Dangerfield's regular opening act at Dangerfield's, and he was inducted into AM Radio History Museum. He's won a Perry Award for his play, his 2013 play, Are You for Sale? And She Loves Me Not. And he has a new play opening April 24th, 25th, and 27th, and May 1st and 2nd. It's called Louie Louie. So please welcome to Talk of the Town this evening, Larry Catrone.
Hey, Larry.
Ladies.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. Well, now that you mention it.
Can I go to jail for this?
No, we're all over 21, yeah. Larry. It's all good. It's all good. So, Italian-American musician, singer, playwright, comedian. What an accomplishment.
Yeah, some of it's true. Not many of what you said was true. No, we all have a past, we all have a resume, you know?
Yes. True. How long have you been writing plays?
How long have I been writing plays?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
probably started in the early 70s. In fact, Olympia Dukakis, when she was the director of the whole theater in Montclair, which is defunct now, but she was the artistic director, she really encouraged me to keep writing. I mean, I wanted to hang it up at 26, you know? I thought I'm washed up at 26 as a writer. And she encouraged me. She wanted to do one of my plays, but they weren't doing one-act plays at the time, but she wrote me a beautiful, encouraging letter. And so, because of that, I kept going. I kept writing.
That's awesome.
Now, what brought you to playwriting? What I believe you're also a comedian. Stand up, yes?
Yeah, well, I have 172 recordings of me singing to prove that I'm funny. But actually, the playwright, I started writing screenplays. Mm-hmm. And I had a screenplay that got to Tom Cruise, and they wanted to do it, and blah, blah, blah. And the negotiations broke down, and then I went to Harry Connick Jr. And I said, this thing's spinning around and around, and I'm ready to give up. I said, look, it's harder to do a movie than it is to do a play. I think I could put a play on faster than a movie. So I adapted some of my screenplays to stage plays. Mm-hmm. And that opened the door, even though it's still not easy to get a play produced. I mean, I'm not saying that this is easy.
Right.
You probably know many of your friends that are writers that can't get a play produced.
It's very true.
It's hard. So I was lucky, and I got the first one produced 10 years ago. And I've had 5 productions since then. This is my
Where film. Have your shows been done? Where have your plays been done?
Well, my first play was done at Morristown Baird, which is an exclusive school. What do you call it?
Like a private school?
Prep school. And they have a wonderful theater program there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was done with like high schoolers. So I brought a few of my professional friends in that did me a favor, and a couple of college guys. And we put on a decent production for my first show there.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of the other productions have been done at the Duress Theater in Booton, which is where the current show, Louie Louie, is being produced.
Now tell us a little bit about Louie Louie. Give us a little background on it.
Louie Louie is about a gangster from Brooklyn who the mob comes after him. And he creates his own witness protection program. So he decides to come to Jersey and hide out as a cowboy at a dude ranch.
Oh
so
God.
He comes out here, and he creates this whole new persona with cowboy hat and fringe jackets, and he has a whip back, you know, the cigarettes out of the wife's mouth and the whole thing. and so one day while he's performing, some guy says, hey, you sound like you're from Brooklyn. You know, cowboy, and then people start to find out where he is. And so anyway, his cousin, Louie, well, I don't want to give too much of this away.
No, don't give too much away. But go ahead.
Well, he has an accident, and it's hard to tell you without giving it away. But he has an accident. Let's just say that he has an accident. The mob finds out, and they give up looking for him.
Okay.
And there's a lot of, probably a lousy explanation of the show, but it's a funny show, and there's some music in it. And one of your dear, dear friends, who I absolutely adore, is in the show, Pam DeBuck.
Oh, she's wonderful. My very good friend, Pam.
Yeah, yep. She is so, when you see her, I do hope you come to see the show.
Oh, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, let's tell everybody who's listening to you, where can we come see the show? Where are you performing it?
It's at the Duress Theater at 615 Main Street in Booton, New Jersey. You can call the theater and make reservations. The nice thing about reservations is you don't have to pay over the phone. They'll reserve the ticket for you,
mm-hmm.
and they'll hold it, and then the day before they'll call you and make sure that you still want it. And if you want it, then you can pay, or you can pay at the door.
Okay.
And tickets are how much?
Tickets are $20, and the phone number is 973-334-9292.
And just to remind everybody again, opening night is April 24th, and it's 2 weekends, yes? April 24th, 25th, 27th, May 1st, and I'm sorry?
24th, 25th, and 26th.
26th.
And May 2nd.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, that's a typo on my part. So it's April 24th, 25th, 26th, and May 1st and 2nd. And that is in Booton, New Jersey. And again, the phone number for tickets is 973-334-9292. And just a couple other things I wanted. I'm really excited about your new play, but tell me something about your other two plays, the ones that you won the Perry Awards. Are You for Sale and She Loves Me Not? And by the way, not is spelled K-N-O-T, just, you know, so we
Thank you. That is important because it shows a couple in a knot. And the cartoon says She Loves Me Not, and they're in a knot. That's actually about Livingston, New Jersey.
Okay.
Isn't somebody... got a connection to Livingston, New Jersey here?
Well, I work in Livingston, New Jersey.
And Nanny has some connection or no?
I think it's just because I'm Jewish.
It was a play, the play about Livingston, New Jersey, and the governor got wind of it, and I got a DVD to him, and he cited the show and the cast for winning the Perry Award and sent an official letter that we have framed. It's really nice. It was a nice gesture that he loved it. And he knew some of the teachers that were inferred into the show and some of the situations and landmarks. There's a lot of landmarks in Louie, a lot of Jersey stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys are probably young, but there's references in there to, like, Olympic Park and Jimmy Buffett's.
Jimmy Buffs. I grew up in West Orange, so yes, I'm very. Yes, I am. I'm a Jersey girl through and through, and grew up in West Orange, and so these are a lot of things you're telling me. Mom and Dad would know them a little better, but I do remember all of these things you're talking about.
We talk about Star Pizza.
Pizza. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of references in there, a lot of Jersey stuff too.
Very good. And are you in any of the shows, or are you just write?
You know, I've always resisted that temptation. My wife would say, why don't you know, you could play this guy. Why don't you play him? You could probably play it better than anybody. And I really don't want to pull a Jerry Lewis, you know. I don't want to play the actor, you know, I get the coffee, you know. I mean, so I've resisted that, and I'm glad that I have. I mean, I perform, you know, 2-3 shows a week still. So, you know, I don't have to do that. I don't have to be on stage.
And where are you performing next, Larry, so our audience can know where to find you if they want to come see you perform?
It's just at the Tewksbury Women's Club for a big fundraiser last weekend. Geez, I don't have my calendar in front of me. What am I doing? I don't have the calendar in front of me.
Oh, that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, well, you know, Louie starts in less than 2 weeks, so I've been putting a lot of energy into that. But I'm at the Hanover Manor, I think, this weekend. Okay. I don't know. I got to look at the schedule. Anyway, but I perform 2-3 shows a week.
All right, you are a busy man.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on our show, and best of luck with Louie. And again, that is coming up on April 24th, 25th, and 26th. Tickets are $20, and that is in Booton, New Jersey. And the number to get tickets is 973-334-9292. Larry, thank you so much.
Very nice of you. Very nice of you. I hope to see you all there.
Yes,
alrighty,
thank
we'll see you.
Have
care.
A good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You are listening to Talk of the Town on BroadbandBoxOffice.com. We are on the air the first Wednesday of every... I forgot what day of the week it is. The first Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. And you can always listen to old programs that are archived on the website. So you can always listen back and hear your favorite performer and just keep... keep up with us. We'd love to hear from you, so please like us on Facebook and give us your comments. You know, we have another wonderful guest this evening.
We're lucky as anything.
I'm telling you, I am blessed that this show has had so many phenomenal guests, and I don't even know where to begin.
And we have, like, over what?
1,000 listeners.
Over 1,000? Almost 2,000 listeners?
It's really...
Lisa, I thought it was my mom and her two sisters. Like, I didn't know.
The people that, actually listen to us?
Yeah, because every time I try to talk to my mom, she, like, turns on the TV or raises up the radio or, like, walks away. And I'm like, oh, nobody, okay. But, like, people are listening. This is cool.
Well, it's because we have good stuff
we
going
have,
on.
We do.
We have good stuff.
We're very lucky.
On. So, yes, and we are so lucky. I'm so pleased to introduce our next guest. Gretchen Reinhagen is an amazing singer and performer. I mean, we have some cabaret royalty in our show.
Yes.
This lady is at the Metropolitan Room. She will be performing on May 4th. It is the second show in the series. April 1st was her first, so April Fool's Day. So we got a little story going on there. I don't know what it is, but she's going to tell us. And it's called Reinhagen Redux. So without any further delay, Gretchen Reinhagen, thank you so much for coming this evening.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes. So, second in a series.
Yes.
And the first one was?
The first one was called Almost Blue. So, the series itself is called Reinhagen Redux, because I just kind of liked the alliteration. And so then I built it backwards. What I really wanted to do was bring back some old shows. And that's kind of what this whole series has been about. So I've got three separate shows that coincidentally have three different musical directors over 3 months. So we started on April 1st and with a show that I first did 6 years ago called Almost Blue, which I absolutely loved. We had I had five women join me, all girl band. I had piano, bass, drum, two backup singers, and me. And it was, as the title would suggest, a bluesy show, but only almost. The title song, the Elvis Costello Almost Blue title song. And I liked that because it gave me a loophole, you know, if I wanted to do something, it wasn't a blues.
Right.
But the show itself was certainly very bluesy. And we really revamped the show because it had been 6 years since we'd done it. So we revamped it and we brought it back, and it felt like a brand new show. And it was a packed house, thanks to my very good friend Richard Skipper, who came along with me tonight, who is an incredible publicist and promoter. And we had a packed house, and the show, it just went really well. It was really magical. And but yeah, for the April 1st, I kind of backed into that date. So I knew that I wanted to do this show that's coming up next that we were going to talk about tonight, Special K, which is a tribute to Kay Ballard. I wanted to do it on May 4th in particular because some of the awards you mentioned, May 4th is the five-year anniversary of having won all of those, which was really special to me.
Yes, a Triple Crown winner in 2010, Nightlife Award, Mac Award, Bistro Award. Most performers hope to win one of those. And you just walked away with all three.
It was a magical year for a magical show. I mean, the show had a life of its own, and I was just the lucky singer who got to be a part of it. It was an idea that I'd had, but when it was all said and done, it really was a large group of people that came together to help create this for me. And I got to sort of go on this roller coaster ride with this show that was just so well accepted. And I had been a part of the New York cabaret community for a little while at that point, and all of a sudden, here was this show that everybody was responding to. And I remember each of those awards, they each had a different kind of exciting experience about them. With the Nightlife Award, it was getting the email. They notified you by email that you had won, so that they tell the winners ahead of time so that they're all there and you perform, and that's your acceptance speech. So I got the email. I happened to be awake, couldn't sleep. I found the email at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And I started jumping up and down as quietly as I could because I was so excited. And I went and woke my partner up, and who got up and made me coffee, and we celebrated, and then she went back to bed.
Very nice partner.
That is back to bed.
That was, you know, very sweet of her.
And then the next thing I know, I was getting the call from Richard, actually, and Sherry Eaker, that I'd won the Bistro Award. And that was, I got to the awards. It was a particularly long show that year, I remember, and they had asked me to go last.
Oh.
But all of a sudden, they had a few different hosts, one of whom was Clea Blackhurst, who I'm a huge fan of, and she had had done a very special Ethel Merman show a couple years prior. And here was this artist who I was a big fan of who got up to introduce me and gave me the most beautiful introduction about how proud she was that, you know, I had gotten up and done this show to this legend. Mm-hmm. And it was that moment and walking out on stage that was so special to me. Mm-hmm. It's like each award had their own little special moment. And then for the Mac Awards, even before they announced the winner, they announced all the nominees. And when they read my name, the whole audience just exploded. And it was that moment that I went, I have friends and people that cared about this show. That was the moment. It wasn't hearing my name was really special. Mm-hmm. But hearing the acceptance and the validation from the crowd in the room, mm-hmm. that was it for me.
Well, you know, you gained respect.
Yeah.
And what I find with, and I'm going to try and phrase this as well as I can, the people in the performing community, they don't play.
Yeah.
And if yeah. you are not on your point, if you are not up to snuff, there's not a whole lot of, you know, head patting and it's okay. No, you better be on point. So for you to earn that, you earned it, baby. You
oh,
earned
thank
it.
You.
Hard work.
Thank you.
Yes, that is wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, I understand you have two selections, and I'm very excited to hear it tonight.
I do.
And can, because I do want to talk more about
yeah,
the Kay Ballard
sure.
show, and I want to find out more background on that. But the first selection, I believe, is Name Dropping.
It is.
And that is from The Golden Apple.
No, this one is actually... a Dale Gagne, a special material. It's a standalone song. It's a comedian that Kay really loved, and she found this song and covered it, and
I'm very excited. And so we thought tonight that I should give you a little preview of that show. So I'm going to give you a little preview with these next two songs. Is Shelley long or short? Is John Gielgud all day? Did Van Gogh to court? And what does Ernest Hemingway? Is Glenn close? Was Jamie far? Did Danielle steal your thunder? Can Tommy tune his own guitar? And what did Stevie wonder? Is Monsieur Lautrec too loose? And Thomas Cook some chow? Whom did Mother Goose? And is Helen ready now? Was Linda Gray? Is Karen Black? Why did Patricia kneel? And who gave Roberta Flack? Did Norman Vincent Peale? Does Claire bloom in the fall? Is Tony newly wed? Whom did Lucille Ball? And who gave Edith
head?
Is Faye Dunaway? Is Charlie Richard poor? Whom did Bob Goulet? And who gives Mary Tyler Moore? Everybody! Mary!
What a fun song. That was so much fun.
I still love doing that song.
You know what? Yes, I can understand why.
It never gets old for me.
We're all giggling here. That is so much fun. Now, what drew you to Kay Ballard? Of all people, why Kay Ballard?
You know, it's funny. I sort of was circling Kay Ballard for the longest time and didn't know it. And growing up going into musical theater and then really being more of a character actress and being drawn towards the comic stuff, she was somebody who came up for me a lot in terms of people would say, oh, you remind me of a young Kay Ballard and on and on. And I wasn't too familiar with her work at that time. So I started to kind of pay attention. And then I grew up in Massachusetts, but I moved out to the Southern California area when I went to college in California and then lived in the Palm Desert area for quite some time. And Kay also lives in that area. And as I got involved with the theater community, soon I had friends in the community that knew her. And I never got to meet her. But I, again, kept hearing, I said, I really need to meet her. And then I moved to New York. And I started studying voice with a woman named Judith Ferris, who, it turned out, was Kay Ballard's voice teacher.
Oh, wow.
And then I went and started getting involved in the cabaret world, and I met the man who, I call him the man in my life because I just love him, Barry Kleinbord. He's my director, and he's an incredible director and incredibly knowledgeable artist. And I met him first at a workshop a few years before I did the show, and he had been Kay Ballard's director. And I went, okay, you know, there's something here. I need to, and all I wanted was to meet her. And then I was talking with my partner at the time. We were talking about what show we wanted to do next. And I said, I want to do a tribute show. I'm thinking about the artists that I'm really drawn to that I really love. And she said, you have to do a Kay Ballard show. And all of a sudden I went, oh my gosh, you are, that's exactly what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I had to be reminded of that. And then I was so nervous that it was such a great idea, and I knew it was going to take me a really long time to do it, that I thought I was doing a day job in investment banking. And every deal that can't be made public, you project code. So I said, we have to project code this. And Barry came up with the name Special K as the title for the show. So I called it Project Serial for about 2 years while I tried to figure out putting the show together. And when it all was said and done, I had, of course, gotten to meet her. And we opened the show in California. We did a special two-act production at the Annenberg Theater in Palm Springs. And she was in the audience.
Wow.
And it was really, it was amazing to perform for her and to get her blessing in person. She came up to me after the show, and she thanked me for doing the show, and she said, you have to keep this going. You have to keep doing
this.
Wow. Yeah.
What a validation. Yeah.
It really, really was, because there's so much that I didn't want to do the show. I had written to her, and I didn't want to do it without her blessing. Mm-hmm. That was important to me. And at the end of the day, it's still a very small world in a small community, and I wanted her to know that, you know, how much she was respected and how important her being okay with the show was to me before I moved forward. And of course, it was important to Barry as well. He didn't want to work on the project without her blessing. So it really was, but you still worry while you're putting this together.
I think you worry because you have such respect and you have you
want make the stakes
to please,
so high. Yeah.
You know, if you didn't care, whatever would
right,
have been
right.
But you wanted to do it right. You wanted to do it
all. Yeah.
And I just want to remind everybody that it is at the Metropolitan Room
May 4th,
7 p.m.
Yes.
And please, you know, make it your effort to come and see such a wonderful and just classy production.
Yeah,
that's
Richard
and I talk all the time about performers and doing things with class and with just, you know, caring and doing it right. And the Metropolitan Room, and this is a great venue for
such
a production.
It's a lovely venue. Yeah,
it's very pretty. Now your next show after that. Because I do want to make sure that if you can't make it on May 4th, it's okay. Gretchen will be back again on June 7th, which happens to be her birthday.
That's right.
So it would be nice if you came and saw her for her birthday. It's called Listen to My Music, and that is at 4 p.m. Now, it's at 4 p.m. because that's the night of the Tonys.
It is. So it's a 70s show. So Listen to the Music, the songs of my 70s, and it is at 4 o'clock, and that way we can all go watch the Tonys. We can enjoy some great 70s tunes that we all know and love, have some birthday cake, and watch the Tonys.
Now
perfect,
tell me one
right?
or two songs that you're going to be playing.
In addition to Listen to the Music, there are a number of songs. Most of these songs were all hits. Like, I loved Captain Tennille as a kid. I was a child of the 70s. So a lot of them are songs that I was drawn to as a kid, but now I'm revisiting as an adult. So I loved Captain and Tennille. So, of course, there's Love Will Keep Us Together. But, you know, Afternoon Delight, or a part of it, may find its way into the show, which, of course, as a small child, I was singing. I thought it was about people who enjoyed the afternoon.
And I
made that joke recently and at a gig I was doing, and my friend who was playing the piano said, well, it was.
Well, yes, in a way, yes, it absolutely was.
It's been great fun to revisit these shows from a slightly older perspective.
Music does hold memories, regardless. Yeah. You know, you go and you go back to these shows, and you, oh my goodness, I remember that song. Yeah. I remember what I was doing during that song.
Sure.
Speaking of which, I want to hear another selection.
Okay.
Okay.
This one is this is Lazy Afternoon. This is from the Golden Apple. Okay. Kay introduced this song in the 1954 production of the Golden Apple, and it's been covered by million singers since, but she was the first person to sing.
Okay.
And the tulip trees are blooming, and there's not another human in view but us two. It's a lazy afternoon, and the farmer leaves his reaping in the meadow. Cows are sleeping, and the speckled trout stop leaping upstream as we dream. A fat pink cloud hangs over the hill, hold my hand and sit real still. You can hear the grass as it grows. It's a lazy afternoon, and my rocking chair will fit ya, and my cake was never richer, and I've made a tasty pitcher of tea. Come spend this lazy by it to see. Come spend this lazy afternoon with.
Jim, I love your voice. Your voice is just so soothing. And I really, truly, with all of my heart.
Can I throw something in here?
Always, my darling.
It's Richard Skipper for those listening out there. You know, the interesting thing about Kay Ballard is she was one of these great comedians,
right.
And people forget that she was such a great singer.
Well, I'm going to agree with you because my background is her from television.
Of course.
So,
of course. People
thank
have
you for
three
doing
different
this.
People either remember, they remember her for her Broadway work, they remember her for her nightclub work, or they remember her from television as the mothers-in-law, absolutely, which is now out on DVD.
Okay.
I have
and
it now.
There are a few great standards that Kay Ballard introduced.
Well, that's
that
just
people...
it. People don't realize that she introduced such incredible gems. Kay Ballard was the first person to ever record Fly Me to the Moon.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now we have been educated this evening, Annie.
You learned
and
something new.
And another great
day.
Liza Minnelli hit was introduced by Kay Ballard.
Well, it was actually written for her. Mm-hmm. Kay Ballard said to Kander and Ebb after she'd lost out on a couple of songs.
Today is John Kander's birthday.
Okay.
And they'd written a few songs for her, including Sara Lee. And when she missed the boat on Coloring Book, which she had introduced, but then Sandy Stewart made it famous, she said, listen, can you just write me a song that says something like Maybe Next Time I'll Be Lucky? So they wrote Maybe This Time for Kay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Oh. Well, I do hope that everyone takes the opportunity to come
so.
And see you at the Metropolitan Room. And again, if it's not May 4th that you can be there, then please come on June 7th.
June 7th, yeah.
And what a beautiful, enchanting, rich, wonderful voice that you have. And,
thank
and
you so much.
Really, you've got a new fan in me, so
oh,
please.
Thank
Annie.
You.
As Barbara Streisand would say, your voice is like butter.
Thank you.
You're
that's
welcome.
Very
it was wonderful.
Sweet.
It was
that's
beautiful.
Great. Thank you.
So you have been listening to Talk of the Town on BroadbandBoxOffice.com. Please remember to like us on Facebook and listen to us again next month, first Wednesday at 8 p.m. I'm Lisa Dascoli, Annie Weiss, Gretchen Reinhagen, thank you so much for coming this evening. And Larry Cutrone, thank you for being here. And Richard Skipper, I just love you anyhow. So just you're wonderful. See you next month.
Hello, this is Dr. Barry Prostowski. I invite you to watch Courageous Doctors, an exciting new show on Broadband Box Office about how healthcare is affecting you today.
Hi, I'm Randy Lupo, host of The Randy Lupo Show on Broadband Box Office. Wait, is that a tongue twister or an alliteration? Come meet my favorite people, comedians, actors, writers, spiritual people, and everyone in between. I'm looking forward to seeing you.